All right, everybody. Welcome back to a somber little mini-sode of Horror Bros. We're doing this in between our Bond Bros episodes because we lost someone. We're going to do this little mini-sode as a tribute to one Mr. Roger Corman, who affects me in a big way as far as I love B-movies. And also affected Hollywood in a huge way. JT, go ahead. Tell us what you think about the whole situation.
Hey, everyone. So Roger Corman, who passed away at the age of 98, it should be pretty obvious. It's like he passed away. He was 98.
Right.
But here's the thing that was crazy about him. He just did an interview with Joe Bob Briggs.
Yeah.
And he was sharp as a tack.
Yep.
He was fantastic. He is to Hollywood what Stan Lee was to comic books.
Yes. 100%.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I know, and I was telling you that Hollywood as we know it today would not exist were it not for Roger Corman.
And I want to go ahead and say, in the future, Jason and I were planning, when we got back to Horror Bros or whatever this show becomes, we were going to do a deeper dive into Roger Corman at some point because he was right. That influential. But for now, we just want to acknowledge that this man, if you're wondering about actors, we'll start there.
Yeah,
with the performers. Two big names, not the only names, but the two big names you may have heard of, yeah. Jack Nicholson.
Absolutely.
and Robert De Niro.
Yes.
These guys got their starts with Roger Corman Productions, particularly Jack Nicholson. I think he's in one of the Edgar Allan Poe stretches. Here, I'm going to give a brief rundown of Roger Corman. Roger Corman is a director in the 50s. Yeah. He becomes a producer in the 60s and 70s. He becomes kind of sort of famous for these Edgar Allan Poe productions that are low budget. Yeah. Jack Nicholson also got a start in Little Shop of Horrors, the original, not the 80s movie. But he got famous for those. He got famous for making independent films of all types, Western, science fiction, horror, every single genre.
Yeah.
This dude covered, and he started a company called, I think, New World first, and he produced a lot of movies, but he also bought a lot of foreign movies in. Right. He was big on the drive-in scene.
Yeah.
Drive-in theaters loved him at that time.
Yeah. It was low budget, cheap films. They could get a lot of them, run double features, get cars in the lot. That's what they needed, you know?
Because believe it or not, and also some drive-ins couldn't afford the bigger movies.
Right.
They couldn't afford the rentals for those. But he could say, hey, here's something for you on a Tuesday. I filmed it last Tuesday.
Right.
Kind of a movie. But he did that, and then he eventually sold that when the drive-in was in decline. He created Concord New Horizon. And he took advantage of the home video market.
Right.
And this is the guy who kind of kept independent filmmaking alive almost on his own until the 90s wave of indie filmmakers. So there's just another influence. Worked well into his 90s. But the big thing is the filmmakers he inspired.
Yes.
Or that he got started.
Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola. Martin Scorsese, Ron Howard. Howard famously said on his first film, this budget's not enough. I can't make this movie on this budget. And Roger Corman said to him, if you can make this movie on this budget, you'll never have to work for me again.
Yeah.
Because he knew the talent.
That's the thing.
He knew the talent.
He knew the talent. And his production company, I almost don't even want to call it a production company. I almost want to call it a school. Because that's what he was. He had an eye for young talent that he knew these guys are going to be something someday. I can teach them how to be a director, a producer, do it on a low budget, do things to where that whenever they make a film for me on that budget, then the other studios, once they get a budget, they're going to make blockbusters. One of the things, one of the people that you definitely notice this with 100%, James Cameron. James Cameron started with him. He taught him how to do this. I was talking to you earlier and telling you, if you think about it, Terminator, Aliens, Avatar, you don't have these movies today without him. And if you look at Terminator and Aliens, you're looking at what Roger Corman could have made had he had the budget to do it. That's what that's because those are the types of movie he made. He made science fiction films and things like that. And had he had the budget, he would have made a Terminator and all that. But he taught James Cameron how to do it in a way. And now we have Hollywood as we know. Another actor I want to mention real quick, Sylvester Stallone. There's another one that we don't have without Roger Corman. Go ahead.
Just a little story about James Cameron. I was kind of holding him for a moment.
Yeah.
The first directorial effort in James Cameron's filmography is Piranha 2, The Spawning.
Yes.
It's a Roger Corman film. But here's the thing. James Cameron flies to Rome, where they are filming Piranha 2.
Yeah.
He gets sick. He has a nightmare fever.
Yeah.
He has a fever nightmare, if you will. And in that nightmare, he's being stalked by a machine with a knife. He wakes up, he paints the machine. It's the goddamn Terminator.
Terminator, yeah.
That's where he gets Terminator. So, yes, absolutely him. But another filmmaker I held off mentioning that got started with Corman is Jonathan Demme.
Yeah.
Now, for those who don't know that name, probably one of his best known works is The Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, if you lived through the 80s, by the way, you know the name Jonathan Demme.
Oh, yes. What was it? Married to the Mob, I think, was like his first big movies.
Yeah.
But he makes Silence of the Lambs, right?
Right.
Jonathan Demme, the great director. And if you wanted to ever see Roger Corman, he is an actor in The Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. He's the FBI director. And here's the kicker. A lot of filmmakers offered Roger Corman a lot of money to be in their movies as an actor.
Yeah.
He said, I'm only going to be paid scale, because that's all he charged his actors for when he was producing movies.
Yeah.
And so he would say, nope, I'm just going to take scale, because that's what I gave my actors.
Yep.
Here's another great thing about Roger Corman.
And honestly, just one second.
Yeah,
honestly, could have made that was honestly a way of those filmmakers reaching back and saying, hey, you gave me all this. Let me put you in this movie. We can pay you a shit ton of money doing that. And he refused it. Absolutely refused it. Yeah. Yeah.
He was so proud of his filmmakers for making it.
Right.
And here's another great thing that was very rare for a man of his time. He would cast you, he would hire you, no matter sex, race, or anything of that nature. And now that's something where it seems kind of like, well, yeah, it's commonplace today. It was not back in the 60s,
absolutely
70s, and even the 80s.
Yeah,
he was noted for giving women prominent roles in production when it was not the norm. And actors and actresses and producers and everybody came and said, like, he didn't care who you were. If he thought you had the talent, he was going to give you the chance.
Right.
And that says a hell of a lot about the man. He was very well loved in Hollywood as just a genuinely good dude. And that, in and of itself, it is a success. But he ultimately said, I want to correct something. I've been calling him the king of the bees, like a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Joe Bob Briggs of The Last Drive-In and Monster Vision and the drive-in back on the Showtime days. He interviewed Roger Corman just as recently as this year, like I said before. But he interviewed him one other time and said, "Hey, you're known as the King of the Bees. How do you feel about that?" He says, "You know what? I don't really like that title because that means my films were somehow lesser than the quote unquote A films."
Right.
And Joe Bob Briggs said, "Well, you're also known as the King of the Exploitation Films. How do you feel about that?" And he said, "Oh, I love that."
Yeah. Well, and it's true. You know, from a cult perspective and a longevity perspective, Roger Corman outlasted a lot of damn films that were the A films. There's a lot of A films out there that don't get looked at anymore, but a Roger Corman film, you know, Death Race comes to mind. You know, people know it. Even if they don't know the film, they know people still drive around to this day and they'll see a pedestrian on the side of the road and go, "Oh, that one's 15 points right there." And where that comes from is fucking Death Race. And they, you know.
And I can't remember the name of his memoir. Yeah. In 1990, but I remember the subtitle, "How I Made 400 Films and Never Lost a Dime."
Right. Yeah.
Like, that was another thing. The dude, he knew how to take a film, turn it around, make money. So in relation to that, if you want to put that in modern perspective,
yes,
that's what Jason Blum is doing.
That I was just fixing to say. Blumhouse. Yeah. If you, I can't help but think that Blumhouse has taken some of what it does from the Corman way, you know, of making all of these, you know, they call them micro budget films. I don't know where, you know, a couple of million dollars became a micro budget, but hey, you know, I'm poor. But anyway, you got to think that that's how they're looking at, well, how did Roger Corman make, you know, 400 films that never lose a dime? Well, he did it on a micro budget. He did it to where it took so little to make it. It was going to have to make money if anyone went and saw it in theater, you know? Like I said, you would not have Hollywood as we know it today without Roger Corman. And that's just a fact.
Absolutely. And to know that he was a genuinely good dude, you know, yeah,
because 100%.
Let's face facts. Hollywood is Hollywood, and there are assholes in Hollywood,
right?
You know, you can't help it. That's why I don't focus too much on like, oh, this actor or this filmmaker said this or did this. Every single person in Hollywood has said Roger Corman was a great dude. Even if they didn't technically come from the school of Corman.
Right.
Sometimes people would be like, "Oh, ask Roger. He would know."
Right.
If they had a challenge on a film. And they would go to him and he would be Hollywood's mentor, which is what he was. But I will say this. He was asked, "How do you want to be remembered at the end?"
Right.
And he said, "I want to be remembered as a filmmaker."
Yeah.
Period. That was it. And you know what, dude? You did it. You were a filmmaker. We can say you were king of the bees. You were king of the exploitation films. You were mentor to Hollywood. But at the end of the day, you are the solid definition of a filmmaker.
Yes.
And that's the best compliment you can give him.
And the solid definition, as you just said here a moment ago, a good guy.
Absolutely.
Know? So
we all just want to be good people.
Right, right.
Sorry.
So for that, I want to say, you know, Roger Corman, we salute you. You were great. Just remember, folks, with that passing, always... Until next time, love each other. You know, that's just the way it is. JT, any final words?
You summed it up perfectly. Just awesome. Be a good guy and do what you love.
Yep. Until next time, everybody, this has been Horror Bros. Bye.
Later.